Good to be with you this morning. Before we get started with our worship service, please let me make a few announcements. First, the Trinity Talents show is on display now in the second floor of our education building, and we would love to have you come at noon today for an artist reception in room 209 and to see the work that's on display there and meet some of the artists who have contributed work. It's noon 209. Next Sunday is Children's Sunday, and so during this hour, we're going to have a very special children's service, and it's going to be great. You won't want to miss that. But also wanted to let you know that next Sunday after this service at 11 o'clock in room 222, we're going to have a coffee with the pastors. And so if you're looking to join the church before Pastor Dan retires, this would be your opportunity to do that, and we hope to see as many of you as possible at Coffee with the Pastors at 11 next week in room 222. Also wanted to provide a reminder, if you look on the front of your bulletin this morning, you'll see there some words from the Trinity Foundation that we've been working hard under Bill Berger's leadership to get reestablished. And there's going to be a luncheon about the Trinity Foundation this Wednesday here in the Worship Center. And so that's at noon. Troy Holloway will be back to speak at that. If you'd like to attend that luncheon, we need to know today so we can get a final headcount to our kitchen staff. And so please call and leave a message in the office or let Dan or I know that you're going to come to the luncheon on Wednesday, and we would appreciate it. Time now for our mission moment this morning. And you'll notice around your chairs again this morning these flyers from SWAG, Southwest Advocacy Group. Dorothy Thomas is here again at a table in the back, and these are a Mother's Helping Mothers fundraiser for the Child Center at SWAG, and these are due next Sunday. It'll be the last Sunday you'll be able to provide one of these, provide a donation accorded with this, and this is to give in honor of someone or in memory of a mother to help mothers in need and help out the great work the Southwest Advocacy Group is doing. At this time, I'd like to invite up our youth director, Julie Mishu. This morning's mission box is Imagine No Malaria. This is something that our conference has been extensively involved in. Come on up here, Julie. Don't be shy. And we've raised millions of dollars for Imagine No Malaria, which malaria is a disease that is preventable, but it's simply providing a mosquito net and other measures. When I was in Malawi with our mission team last year, I saw the great work that World Vision has been able to accomplish in reducing Malawi by a staggering amount, reducing malaria in Malawi by a staggering amount, just by a $10 mosquito net. And I can tell you, I was there not during mosquito season, but they're there all year round. And I slept under a mosquito net because, frankly, here in Florida, I just get annoyed by mosquitoes. But here, I don't have to worry about getting malaria like they do over there. And so a $10 net can save a life. It really can. So we're going to have a 3-versus-3 tournament.
On June 5th, it's June 5th. On June 5th, we are going to host a 3-on-3 basketball tournament to raise money for purchasing these mosquito nets to send to the areas in the greatest need. And we already have 4 teams registered. The date is Sunday, June 5th, and we will grill out ahead of time, hamburgers, hot dogs, and just have a great family night, fun event. And the registration fees will all go towards the purchase of these nets. And so we would love to have you guys out. Younger, older, we'll put a tournament bracket together, and there will be 3 prize basket winners. And so we'd love to have you guys register on the My Trinity site. There's registration sheets up, and you can register as an individual or as a team. And if you register as an individual, we will put you on a team. So we'd love to have you guys out for a great night.
All right. Thank you, Julie. And I told her I would only play if we could do it basketball with baseball rules. Some of you might have gotten that reference, but anyway. So please give generously this morning. Today is World Malaria Day, and so around the conference we are raising funds for Imagine No Malaria, and we would invite you to give this morning, but then also participate in this basketball tournament on June 5th as another way of giving. So that's our announcements. That's our mission box. Time now for this tradition that we have here at Trinity. Hope that all of you come to feel this way about our church, but welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together. Thank you. on this world. Please remain standing for our creed. Let us, as an act of worship, use the Apostles' Creed and declare our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning, as we go to God with our joys and concerns, I wanted to share with you the names of those that we are visiting in the hospital and rehab at this time. I also wanted to just draw your attention in our bulletin to the altar flowers today. Jim and Linda Cook had donated those for us, and they have noted praise to God for the many healing prayers offered by the people of Trinity. Our prayers really do matter, and as we go out, our care team goes out and visits the people all throughout the city. They tell us over and over again that they can feel your prayers. So keep praying, because it does make a tangible difference. I also want to make sure that we remember all those who are undergoing cancer treatment, who are homebound, who are serving in harm's way, or have offered other prayer requests to us. An updated list is available each week back in the Narthex area. And if you have prayer concerns that you want to share with us, please make sure to use your Connect card to do that today. If you or a loved one would like visitation in the hospital or elsewhere, please make sure to let me know. Due to HIPAA regulations, there is no other way for us to find out than for you to call us or send an email or call the church office. I also wanted to share with you that we have a mission team over in El Salvador right now, and they have gone back to the same community that they visited in January to build a second well for that community, and that was based on your generosity at Easter. And so we want to pray for their well-being and for the fruitfulness of this mission trip, that that water be nourishing for this community. I know that many of you came with joys and concerns of your own that you want to take before God in prayer. So let's join our hearts together and pray. Loving God, whose mercies have greeted us anew this morning with the rising sun, we offer our praise that is due your holy name. During these months of transition, we invite your Spirit to guide and sustain us. Bless the Johnsons as they prepare for Dr. Dan's retirement, for the Prices as they are in the midst of their move, and for our church as we seek to be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. For all who suffer physically, emotionally, or spiritual, we pray for their healing. May your presence bring them comfort and peace as you lead them on paths of wellness and wholeness. And may we continue to be a community that surrounds them with loving care and constant prayer. For all those who are weary, grieving the loss of a loved one, or fractured relationships, or the loss of employment, the loss of a dream, we ask that your grace fill them with living water that quenches their deepest thirst and bring them an assurance of your abiding love. For all those whose lives have been devastated by terrorism, natural disaster, or violence in any form, we ask for your Holy Spirit to protect them and intercede on their behalf, that you would pave a way for their welfare. For our mission team that is serving in El Salvador, we pray blessings upon their work. And may this well provide water that nourishes those in that community with body and soul. Lord, continue to mold and shape us as we worship you today and throughout our week to come, as we seek to become the people you have fully created us to be, as we pray together the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If I can have the ushers come forward as we prepare to take our offering as I pray. Lord God, we thank you for your abundant blessings, for the gift of life, and all that you shower our lives with in providing for us. We give now back to you out of the resources that you have entrusted to us. May you use these gifts of tithes and offerings for your kingdom's work. We also offer ourselves, Lord. We offer everything that we have, all the gifts and time and talents that you have given us. We dedicate them to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'm Ella Thomas, and this morning, Sunlight will be singing The Best Day of My Life by American Authors. As Christians, we are not promised that every day will be great or that all of our prayers will be answered the way we want them to. What we are promised is that God and Jesus will be with us at all times and giving us all that we need. The lead guitarist for American Authors, James Adam Stone, said in an interview that no matter what's going on, whether you're stuck at your job or having a bad day, there's always an escape from that, and there's always a way to make any day the best day of your life. We can do this through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We learn this from Acts 17:25, that says that Jesus himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Through him, we are able to see God's gift daily. This knowledge of his gift allows us to live each day and make every day the best day of our life. Now singing "The Best Day of My Life" is the amazing and talented Delia Savage.
I dreamed so big and loud, I jumped so high, I touched the clouds. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. I stretched my hands up to the sky, we danced with monsters tonight. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. I'm never gonna look back, whoa, I'm never gonna give it up. No, please don't break me now.
Sunlight, thank you. Well, this is one of the best days of my life, hearing you all sing. And I know how busy you are, so thanks for making this a priority and being here every Sunday. We're so grateful for you. Oh, Exaltation Ringers, love hearing you play the bells. Thanks so much. This past week, we've had Family Promise here. I don't know. Beth, how many folks were here? Yes. You don't know? Just a few. Okay. Well, at any rate, one guy said to Marilyn Clarkson, who kind of heads that up, said, you know, I'm gonna start going to church. And when I do, I'm going to go to a Methodist church. Because the Methodists are the nicest and least judgmental of all the people. Which is probably true. At any rate, that was kind of a neat thing. The text this week is actually what was really referenced in the lead-in, thank you for that, to the Sunlight Special, Acts 17, 22-28. Paul's in Athens. If we could bring that up, Sam, thanks. and he's there at Mars Hill, and he's trying to make a connection with the people of Athens. And so he says to them, Paul stood up in the middle of the council on Mars Hill and said, people of Athens, I see that you're very religious in every way. As I was walking through town and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What you worship as unknown, I now proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made with human hands, nor is God served by human hands as though he needs something, since he is the one who gives life and breath and everything else. For one person, God created, from one person, God created every human nation to live on the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands. God made the nations so that they would seek him, perhaps even reach out to him and find him. In fact, God isn't far away from any of us. In God we live and move and have our being, or as this text says, exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's word and speak to us as God is already speaking to us through music and prayer and now scripture. If I had a dime for every time in the last 44 years somebody has said to me, well, since you only work one day a week. Oh, you've said it too, haven't you? Yeah. So, Lenora, Aaron, you're kind of getting ready for it. You know, it's just part of the deal where since you only work one day. So what I decided to do was, well, I'm just going to retire because I'm tired of that. No, I just said, I'm going to show you a week in the life of a minister, all right? From last Saturday to this Saturday. Well, last Saturday, our whole family was in Nashville for our niece's, Jan's niece's wedding. Now, 2 years ago, Stephanie asked me, Uncle Dan, would you do my wedding in Nashville? I said, absolutely. I'm thinking of Harvey Baxter. He goes there, Vanderbilt, beautiful, all this. Then a few months ago, she said, it's going to be at the Hard Rock Cafe. I said, you know, I'm getting too old for this job. I actually said, that's fine. I sort of pulled all the resources. I thought of Paul there of Mars Hill and the sort of the unknown God of the big guitar and or Jesus taking parables. And Jan was praying really earnestly. And I asked the couple, as I often do, tell me a few things about yourselves. And because I didn't know the groom very well. And what is it about the other person you love and you want to spend the rest of your life with them? And they must not have understood it because they didn't give me any input on it. So I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm here at the Hard Rock Cafe. We're on the roof. Have you been to Nashville? All these people like to stand on roofs and drink. I don't quite know what that is. That's what they do. So we're out there on the roof, but, you know, the sun actually goes down in the shade. It's really good. And it turned out to be a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful evening. And God seemed to give me some words that I'm going to stretch out for more of a sermon. I wouldn't do this in a wedding. But the groom, Damon, what's that when you ask a woman to marry? Proposed to her at the Masters. He's a big golf fan. He also likes the Oakland Raiders. And he likes the Los Angeles Lakers. That's a lot to build a sermon on, isn't it? Any rate, so he said, proposed to the Masters. And so I had this idea that came to me that God gave me that the Masters is a lot like marriage. So I brought my golf club today. Better get over here. And, you know, a lot of people asked me after the service last time, I didn't know you golf left-handed. I do two things left-handed. I play baseball and golf left-handed. Everything else is right-handed. Not that you needed to know that, but that's just the way it is. So I wanted to think about the Masters, and as Jim Nance says, it's a tradition unlike any other. And I drew the connection, marriage is a tradition unlike any other, just like the Masses. And I want us to think about marriage, if you're married, and thinking about getting married, or a special relationship, but maybe more importantly, your relationship with God. That's five or six parallels between the Masses and those deep relationships. So think that through with me. First is, through a lot of hard work, you can create something amazing. If you've ever been to the Masters, if you watch it on TV, it's the sort of pinnacle of the golf world. But it doesn't just come about by saying, oh, I think I'd like to have a wonderful golfing venue. It comes through an amazing amount of hard work and planning, strategic focus, and intentionality. They put conduits under the green so that they have them at the right temperature. They put piping under the azalea bushes so that they could put heat or cold in there so that they blossom at just the right time. And in every relationship, whether it's your marriage or your relationship with God, let's be honest, it takes hard work and intentionality or it's not going to happen. It takes hard work, intentionality. Years ago, I was in a sales job, and they always said, if you work it hard, it's easy. If you work it easy, it's hard. Your business, whatever it is. Second thing about the Masters is, a few years ago, Dan, I can't call up Dan's last name, but Dan gave me some tickets for the Thursday or first day of round of golf. We went there, had a glorious time. I never saw one piece of paper on the ground the whole day I was there. Not one piece of paper. I'm sure some of it fell. Somebody picked it up right away. Wouldn't it be great if you or your spouse could learn to pick up his towels right away? Or his socks? Several wives asked me if I'd bring that into the sermon, so that's why I did it. No, I mean, seriously, if you could pick up the litter. This is going to be litter. Pick it up right away instead of letting it fester and seize and lie there and gather and get bigger. And before you know it, it's a big mess. Pick it up right away. Pick it up right away. Third thing, if you go to the Masters, there's no cell phones allowed. Because they don't want somebody phone ringing when you're on the backstroke or when you're putting or disrupting. Now, cell phones are amazing, aren't they? They're wonderful, 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 but you need to disconnect sometimes. And you really do. How many times have you been at restaurants and you see a couple sitting across from each other, never talk, they just are on their cell phones? It's crazy, isn't it? And this past week, I wrote the Daily Scripture email and I came to that passage of Psalm 37 that says, be still. And I challenge you, encourage you, and several of you wrote back and said, I'm in. 10 times throughout the day, be still and connect with God. Do you have those times when you unplug? I mean, seriously, do you have those times when you unplug and you connect with the most important being in the world? The most important person in your life? Seriously, we're on a trajectory in our society of disillusionment, fragmentation. You don't create Augusta without hard work, picking things up, disconnecting cell phones, and fourth, appreciating tradition. It is a tradition unlike any other. And it carries on and on. And you and I have the privilege of creating traditions for our future, for your future, for the offspring that you have or people you know. Psalm 16, verse 4 says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. And we can create that with intentionality, hard work. This past Saturday, just yesterday evening in the chapel at 5 o'clock, we had a wedding. Shannon and I and lots of people were here all day yesterday, weren't we? And it was for Britt McGriff and
and Megan Dover. And I had asked them, what is it about the other that you love so much that you want to spend the rest of your life with them? They had wonderful things to say. Wonderful things. But one of the things Megan said about Britt, Britt is honest like a rock. He will never lie to me. He would never lie to me and would never cheat on me. I mention that because that's becoming rarer and rarer in our world. We're so into self-expression. He would never lie to me, never cheat me. And I don't know the McGriffs that well. We live in the same neighborhood. I listen to Lee on the radio. I have a feeling that's a part of a tradition. Lee presents, at least to me, as a quiet, a man of quiet strength that's passed on to a son, that will be passed on. Hugely important. The traditions you and I develop in our lives. Another way, marriage is a lot like the Master's, our relationship with God is, there's going to be trials and triumphs along the way. There are going to be huge triumphs, a string of birdies or an eagle here and there, or a hole in one, which I've never had. And there are going to be huge trials and challenges and difficulties. And you just know that that's what it's going to be when you go into it. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's going to have its challenges. Same with your relationship with God. You're going to be flying high and you're going to take all the credit and you're going to crash and you're going to blame God. That's what tends to happen. Now, this past master, Jordan Spieth, was leading from the very beginning. This 22-year-old guy, amazing golfer, leading to the very, at the very beginning, every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, comes to Sunday, gets to Amen Corner, 12th hole, there's Ray's Creek, there's a tiny green. He hits his tee shot, it goes into the Ray's Creek. He takes the next shot, hits it into Ray's Creek, and second time. Even I wouldn't do that. No. Can you imagine the pressure on a 22-year-old guy? And he got a quadruple bogey. 7 on a par 3. Here's the strange thing. All people could talk about the next day or two or three or even now was, wasn't that tragic about Jordan Spieth? How he got that quadruple bogey. Listen to this. If he had been in the lower end of the pack where they don't show it on TV and got a quadruple bogey, nobody would even notice. They noticed because he was playing such amazing golf. How many of you are like this where there could be 99 wonderful things going on about your spouse or somebody else or yourself, 99, and one little tiny lousy flaw. Oh, yeah. And you focus on that. It's a terrible thing in our human condition. Oh, if you could just get this right, it would be all right. Well, there'd be something else. So, all these wonderful. The next two holes he birdied. Don't worry about Jordan Spieth. Well, he made several million dollars that day, and he'll be back. And that leads to this thing. The key to golf, to life, to marriage, to relationship with God, the key is recovery. Every great golfer makes terrible mistakes. 2 years ago at the Masters, Bubba Watson, and he is a left-hander, he was in the woods on a playoff hole. And, I mean, he was deep in the woods, and he hit this amazing shot that looks a lot like this one right here. And if you Google it, or you already saw it, many of you, it was just, and he curved that thing around right on the green within feet of the, it's amazing. So the key, really great golfers, recover. And God helps you and me recover, like the parable of the lost son. For all of us mess up. All of us end up in Ray's Creek one way or another. Ray's Creek, and it's important to know that Ray's Creek is there. It's tempting. It's beautiful. It's serene unless your ball is in there. And you know, you're tempted. Let's be honest. You're tempted. Don't go there. And then recover. Renew. Ask forgiveness. Learn from your mistakes. And go on. Well, that was Saturday. We came back on Sunday. And Monday we had Martha Copeland's memorial service here. And many of you know Martha Copeland, Ted. Her husband was chief of surgery at the University of Florida for many years. And Martha had been battling cancer for 5 years. Was so transparent about it. She would talk to me about what was happening in her body. She called me and said, "Dan, I want you to come over. We're going to talk about my memorial service. I want these hymns. I want these persons to speak. I want this scripture. And I think I'm not going to be here very much longer." And she's just the most transparent I've ever, I think, ever known about anybody. She's just so at peace. And we talked about Isaiah 40:31. She said, I love that passage. They who wait upon the Lord. They who draw on His strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. To walk in that pain. And she had this deep peace that when her time came, God's Spirit would mount her up with wings like eagles. She would run and not be weary. I pray and trust that every one of us here invites Christ into our lives and has that similar kind of peace. Peace, security, assurance. And we had a couple other things that Jan and I did, and staff got ready for the foundation meeting this Wednesday with Troy Holloway. And really, if you haven't had a chance to sign up, please call the office today. I'll see Shannon after church. You like people to come up. Okay, all right. And then yesterday we had the service for Daniel Mako, 30 years old. When Siobhan lived here, our daughter, she was sort of a nanny for Daniel and Ariane, just dear friends. Dan, the father, was one of the key leaders in helping the church make the move to this property here. And Linda, the mother, spoke at the service. Great strength that God gave her. And she just addressed the situation head on. She said, our son was a very happy child. He did take his own life in China. He was teaching English. He was happy. He was Teacher of the Year. He was loved by his students and by his colleagues. People loved his classes. If we ask the question why, we just don't know why. And I was so proud of her and so in awe that she's right. There's a lot of things in life we don't know why. And then she told the story that when he was 5 years old, Daniel was a premature. Daniel was a special, beautiful young man. And when he was 5 years old, he was at Sarasota, the family, and there was a fountain there. And this five-year-old, and I know your five-year-olds are precocious too, and they say amazing things. He said, Mom, here's the meaning of life right here. He said that like the water, we come from God, we live our lives, and we fall back into God. Wow. It's like Paul said in our text today, God in whom we live and move and have our being. It's so true, so wise, so comforting. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 139, if I go to the outer reaches of the earth, you are there. If I go to the highest heights, you are there. If I go to the deepest depths, you are there. If I try to hide in darkness, you are light there. There is no place I can go that's outside of your presence. There's no place you can go outside of God's presence. The key is recognizing God's presence and giving yourself to Him and living strength and His presence. So, in summary, are you working hard at your relationship with God? God, with the marriage, with a special person. Do you have time each day when you unplug? Be still. Be still. Are you aware there's a raised creek? Can you live with awareness that you could fall easily and fast? Do you focus on one mistake and forget about the wonderful things that are happening? Yes, for God's recovery. And the meaning of life, we come from God, we live in God's strength, and we return to God. Jesus knew we would get tired and weary along our way. And I bet some of you are tired and weary today for whatever reason. Maybe the relationship is just too hard. And so he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And eat of me, nourishment for our journey. This is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Cup of salvation. Would you pray with me? And as I pray, we need several of you to come and help serve Holy Communion. It'd be great to have somebody in front of each section. So would you make your way while I pray? Oh God, pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Pour out your Spirit upon them and upon us. I know there's somebody here who's weary and just not sure what the next step is. Even as they receive the bread and the cup, may they feel you lifting them up on eagle's wings. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, that we might eat the world, the body and blood of Christ, and be nourished and overflowing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Aaron, you're going to lead us in the closing, and feel free to come and receive.
Stand and take somebody's hand and receive the benediction. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Hey, sweetie.